All right, let's pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, keep your household, the church, continually in your true religion, that we who trust in the hope of your heavenly grace may always be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
A young atheist college student wrote to C.S. Lewis, very concerned because he had made friends with some Christian students. They were enthusiastically witnessing to him about Jesus, and it had completely rattled the young man's thinking. He was going through some struggles about Christianity, and he wanted to know what Lewis thought. Lewis wrote back, I think you are already in the meshes of the net. The Holy Spirit is after you. I doubt you will get away. My friends, the Christian life, the Jesus way, is a partnership with the Holy Spirit. Or if you prefer, it is a dance with Him, taking the lead. And the longer we dance with the Spirit, the longer we move to the rhythms of grace with Him, the more we end up looking like Jesus. But all too often, we attempt to take the reins into our own hands. So frequently, we like to cut free from the tango to break dance on our own. We do a little moonwalking, or a little mashed potato and twist, or my personal favorite, the Batman, right? And when we break from the dance, when we break from it, we fall into three basic temptations that are common to man. The carnality of appetite, affirmation, and ambition. Simply put, many times Christians do not act Christianly. Our behavior does not resemble the Jesus way. And so we revert to the old man, to the carnal flesh with its desires, which is the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of this age that is passing away. But the wisdom of God is something completely different. The wisdom of God is Jesus Christ crucified. Amen?
Amen.
The Jesus way is a wisdom that looks foolish to those who live according to the flesh, who live only for this world. But for us who have put on the new man, who have the Holy Spirit, we have the mind of Messiah. You know, when we hear Christians talk about having the mind of Christ, in American spirituality, the emphasis is on the individual believer. I have the mind of Christ. But the Apostle Paul stresses the collective, the corporate dimension of having the mind of Jesus. As a people redeemed through a crucified and a risen Lord, we are called to live wise lives that appear utterly foolish to the ways of the world. We are to walk the Jesus way. We are to continue to partner up and dance with the Holy Spirit and seek Jesus' attitude of humility, obedience, and service as a community, as a people. But the church at Corinth was full of a bunch of spiritual narcissists. Their faith was all about me, myself, and I. It was the exaltation of the individual over others. It was the consumption of passions rather than truly being filled and satisfied with good things from the Lord. In other words, the community didn't look a whole lot like the Jesus way. They looked extremely like what was going on in the surrounding culture of Corinth. But Paul reminds them of the wisdom of God, which is Jesus, and the way of life that he modeled. And Paul shepherds the Corinthians to recall that they possess, as a body, the mind of Christ. For the mind of Christ is a practical wisdom. It is an attitude of humility, obedience, and servanthood. It is the way of the cross. And there's simply no way a body of believers can collectively continue to dance with the Spirit if they abandon God's wisdom for a worldly one. You see, Paul reminds the Corinthians and us as well of the wisdom that comes all the way from eternity. All the way. The Jesus way is not about narcissism, but about emptying yourself of yourself, about pouring yourself out, even unto death, for the glory of God and for the sake of others. Therefore, let us hear Paul calling us back to dancing with the Spirit, and let us hear him reminding us of the Jesus way. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, found on page 686. Please open your Bibles. Now, an Amish farmer purchased a new pair of overalls. And of course, the Amish are known for their simplicity and their attempts to avoid pride. But as he put on his new overalls and looked into the mirror, he said, "Oh, this will never do. I'll be too proud in these." So he removed the new overalls and he put on the old patched worn ones that were dirty. And then he stood again in front of the mirror and said, "Ah, you'd look good in anything." My brothers and sisters, the wisdom of the Jesus way is a complete contrast to the worldly wisdom of narcissism, of me, myself, and I. But a spiritual narcissism had infected the church at Corinth like a cancer. People within the community had succumbed to the temptations of appetite, of affirmation, and ambition, and had ceased to walk the Jesus way. And for us to get a better understanding of all of this, we've got to take a closer look at the culture of Corinth. Corinth, in a lot of ways, was Sin City, like modern Las Vegas. It was a place to partay. It was a beautiful, beautiful port city between two seas, built at the foot of a steep mountain, which means it was extremely, extremely wealthy. Merchants and sailors would frequently come and go and stop there on their voyages. And because of its location, it was a very eclectic place of Romans, Greeks, Jews, and more. And even more impressive, at the top of the steep mountain was the temple of Aphrodite that looked down upon the city. And this temple had hundreds upon hundreds of temple prostitutes that infiltrated the city. In fact, Corinth was quite well known for its sexual immorality, even among pagans. In fact, in the Greek, there's even a verb that means to act like a Corinthian. Say that with me. To act like a Corinthian. Don't act like one. But Corinth was also an intellectual epicenter because of its strategic location. Traveling orators would come and they would lecture, and people would pay and attend to hear them and their latest philosophical rhetoric. In other words, the Corinthians adored, absolutely adored, eloquent speech. So the culture of Corinth was about palate, it was about prestige, and it was about power. It was about appetite, affirmation, and ambition. It was altogether fleshy and carnal. And none of these things are the wisdom of God. None of these things are the Jesus way. But it was into this worldly, pagan culture that the Apostle Paul came with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus. And Paul comes to this port city trembling, for Corinth is well known with its intimidating reputation. What would he find there? What would he see there? And Paul does not come with impressive words that the Corinthians love to hear. No, not at all. Rather, he comes with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has led Paul to this particular place so that Paul can tell and so that Paul can model the Jesus way. So that Paul can proclaim the wisdom of God alone, Jesus Christ crucified. For 18 months, Paul labors in this fleshy place. Imagine him making tents day by day with temple prostitutes of Aphrodite seducing people all around him. Imagine him proclaiming Jesus when there's famous skilled orators all around him that people are paying to hear. In this culture, in this place, Paul relied not on himself, but on the Spirit of the living God. He followed the lead of the Spirit. He danced with the Spirit. Corinth appears so strong and mighty, and Paul comes with the words about the weakness of God, about a crucified Jewish Messiah who is Lord of all. You see, the Spirit led Paul, and Paul sowed the seed of the gospel in a very fleshy soil. But thank the Lord, God gave the increase. The Holy Spirit grew everything that Paul was doing into a community. But it was a community that had one foot still in the wisdom of the world, whose eyes were fixed on carnal appetites, affirmations, and ambitions. So just what exactly did these three basic temptations look like within the church of Corinth? Well, for starters, with the temptation of appetite, people succumbed, and sexual immorality was quite apparent. One guy was even sleeping with his father's wife. Talk about carnality and acting like a Corinthian rather than a Christian. Then there were people getting drunk at the parish potluck before they headed into the Eucharist. There's nothing like showing up to worship drunk as a skunk. So we can see clearly that the party culture of Corinth was all too present within the covenant community. But my friends, there is an intimacy greater than sex, and there is a pleasure greater than wine. And both are found in the wisdom of walking the Jesus way. The Lord really does have good things to fill you and I up with. But there was also the temptation of affirmation, where people succumbed to wanting to be seen more important than they actually were. And I love Paul. He tells them, none of us are that important. The rich were looking down on the poor in this community, taking the seats of honor and prestige. Those with certain spiritual gifts, like the gift of tongues, a very obvious gift, had the attitude that they were the spiritual celebrities. And then there were those who spoke articulately, and they were looked upon as rock stars. So this manner of living is not the Jesus way. It is the wisdom of the world, which is absolute folly. The Jesus way is not about self-exaltation. It's about self-humility. It's not about going higher, my friends. It's about going lower, becoming a servant. And finally, there was the temptation of ambition, where the strongest amongst the community, in their spiritual pride, in their spiritual hubris, divided the community when they should have been building up the weaker members of the body. You see, the pursuit of power is not the wisdom of God. The pursuit of power is the wisdom of the world. It's not the Jesus way. For as Jesus says in Luke's gospel, in this world, the kings and the great men lord it over their people. Yet they are called friends of the people, but it will be different among you. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Amen? The Jesus way is about service, not dominance. For the wisdom of God is contrary to the wisdom of the world. And God's wisdom is way older than man's wisdom. But we as a community have the mind of Christ corporately, not just individually, corporately. And we are to continue to partner up with the Holy Spirit in the great dance that is the Jesus way. We war against the carnal appetites that are puffed up, that are elevated by the wisdom of this world, by being filled with good things that truly nourish, that truly, truly satisfy. And this brings us to the three streams of Scripture, of the Spirit, and the sacraments. Don't be drunk, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And God's holy word is true food that really does satisfy, that really does edify. So consume it. It really is delicious. And the sacraments point to our great union with our Lord and King and Bridegroom. His name is Jesus. God does indeed fill the hungry with good things. So the question is this morning, how hungry are you? As C.S. Lewis said, so often we fill ourselves up with pig slop, and God offers us a magnificent feast. We are far too easily satisfied. We also war against carnal affirmations of status and prestige. And this is one reason why Paul's imagery of the church as the body of Christ is so important. Every member has a part to play. One part cannot say to another part that they don't need them. And one way to battle the carnality of worldly affirmation when it creeps into the church is to follow Paul's advice from the book of Romans. Instead of seeking self-glorification, we should outdo each other in showing honor, honor to other members of the body, which I tried to model for us at our annual parish meeting. Outdo one another in showing honor. Against this, we wage against the carnality of affirmation of the world. And last of all, we war against carnal ambitions. That people crave power within the church is a giveaway that they have broken free from dancing with the Holy Spirit. that they crave lording it over their others is testimony that they have stopped walking the Jesus way to tread back towards the wisdom of the world. Let me give you a recent illustration of this among the mainline denominations. In the Episcopal Church, a congregation gives their tithe to their diocese, who then in turn gives their tithe to the national church. A national church that promotes an ideology that has nothing whatsoever at all to do with biblical Christianity. In other words, what is implemented is not the wisdom of God, it's not the Jesus way, but the wisdom of the world. And this national church then persecutes those who uphold what is biblical truth within their own denomination by defrocking clergy and taking away properties from congregations. And that's not all. The Episcopal Church not only lords it over their own people, they also seek to bully and influence other Christians scattered around the world by their wealth. By their wealth. And I've witnessed several testimonies about this, and I've seen people's grief, and I've seen people's tears. This is not the Jesus way, even though they say it's a church. This is nothing to have to do with Jesus. It is a carnality of ambition and worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom that seeks power and dominance. But the wisdom of God is sacrificial. It's about washing stinky feet. And it is not the strong, my friends, and the mighty who will inherit the earth. It's the meek and it's the humble. And that is the Jesus way. And this brings us to our takeaway today. The Christian life is a partnership with the Holy Spirit. It is a dance with the third person of the Trinity. And the more we dance with the Spirit, the more we walk in the Jesus way, the more we become like Jesus, who is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. But sometimes, unfortunately, we break away from the dance and we try to dance on our own. And it's at times like that where we begin to be swayed by the old sinful nature and succumb to the carnal wisdom of the world with its fleshy appetites, its fleshy affirmations, its fleshy ambitions. Therefore, the mind of Christ is not just for us as individuals, not just for me, Scott. It's for us as the body of Jesus, as the community of Jesus. When individuals go off track, and we all do, including me, we need the whole body participating with the Spirit to remind us what true wisdom really is. It's the Jesus way. Whereas the world's wisdom is all about me, myself, and I. We see this. We know this. We're saturated in this day by day. It's a narcissism that bends in over itself and implodes. It's boring. It gets old. But the Jesus way is about obedience. It's about humility. It's about sacrifice. And this is the great parabola. This is the great parabola. He who exalts himself shall be humbled. And he who humbles himself shall be exalted. It's in the laying down of your life that you actually find life. And this is the sort of wisdom the world cannot fathom and cannot comprehend. For the wisdom of the world is really to act like a Corinthian. To act like a Corinthian. But the wisdom of God is Jesus Christ crucified. Therefore, let us continue to partner with the Holy Spirit in the great dance known as the Jesus way. Let us pray. O God, grant that we may desire you, and desiring you, seek you, and seeking you, find you, and finding you, be satisfied in you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.